The following is a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.
Well, hi there, everybody. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to the Sprint Car Show for Tuesday, October the 29th. On today's broadcast, we'll talk with Greg Hodnett, the new driver of the Mike Heppner Racing Team, and longtime public relations director and the voice of Selwyn's Grove Speedway, Steve Inch, will be by to talk about the track phasing in 360 Sprint Cars. That's all coming up next here on the Sprint Car Show, brought to you by Rod and Supply. They don't just sell them, they race them. By Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions, and by the National Sprint Car Racing Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa, is the only sprint car museum in the world dedicated to promoting the future of sprint car racing and preserving the past. Located in Turn 2 of the world-famous Knoxville Raceway, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, except New Year's Day, Easter, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day. Non-wing sprint cars, historic big cars, open-wheel roadsters, and wing sprinters are all on display in the museum, which also features a movie theater and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Make plans now to stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum the next time you're in Knoxville, Iowa, or shop our museum store online at www.sprintcarstuff.com. The Hall of Fame and Museum is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday, and from noon to 5 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays and Sundays.
Hi, this is Coleman Gluck. You're listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
And welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. My next guest is the new driver of the Heppner Racing Team. It's Greg Hodnett, and he joins us once again to talk about the plans for the upcoming 2014 season. Greg, always a pleasure. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Sean. Appreciate you having us.
So how did the situation come about?
Well, after Mike and Lance had apparently decided to not continue their working relationship through next year, it'll be 2 weeks ago now, Mike called me and said, hey, you'd like to sit down and talk, and asked me if I made any decisions about where I was going to race next year. And I told him no. He goes, well, I'd like to sit down and talk to you about it. And he came by actually my house on the way to Lincoln two weeks ago now and said he'd like to, work with me and ask me if I'd be interested in doing it. I'm like, sure, obviously I'd be interested in driving it. We talked about some of the parameters of, on the business side of it. And we were quite a ways off actually on coming to terms in that respect. But, he said, well, this is what I want to do. And he goes, just think about it. And so I called him a couple days later and talked about, well, this is kind of what I'm thinking. And then he goes, oh, okay. Well, then we didn't really talk till the next. He goes, well, I'll tell you what, just think about it over the weekend and I'll call you next week. So he called me last Monday and we were talking, and he said, well, I'll meet you Saturday, maybe before the race at Williams Grove. And I was like, well, we're not going. John has decided just to end the season now, and we're not going there or to Susky. So we talked for a little bit, and he said, I got this other car still got, it's ready to race. And he said, well, if we can work some now, we can maybe put this thing together. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, instead of waiting until Saturday, why don't we try to do it beforehand and get together and see if we can have something hammered out? Because right now, I think a lot of people are just assuming that I'm driving for you that your car is not available and that I'm not available. And I think there's opportunities that you're missing for drivers and maybe I'm missing for cars, just because people are under the assumption that this is what's happening when it's not that way at all. So we met last Wednesday and talked some more and came to an agreement that we both felt comfortable with and decided just to go for it and ended up racing his other car Saturday at Williams Grove and had a few technical issues that you know, not big deals, but we got to adjust a few things for me as a driver, just, you know, for comfort wise. So it was kind of nice to find that stuff out. So it just kind of all came about from about Wednesday till like Saturday, and you know, got everything hammered out, really.
Obviously, there's a lot of subplots in there. So let me take a couple points here one at a time. Let's first off talk about Leistoffer, your crew chief. You guys have had a great run there with John Trone. Will Leistoffer be your crew chief next year?
No, I did talk to Lee about what he wanted to do, and he and actually Mike had called him before he and I ever could come to terms on anything about what he might be interested to do, and both to me and Mike Hefner, he talked like he was just going to take some time off and really wasn't interested in it. So with that being said, no, he's not coming, not by choice, because obviously he and I worked together well and worked together a long time, but this is, I don't think he wants to do the type of schedule that Mike wants to do, and so it just didn't work out at this, you know, this time. So he's not going to be able to, or he's choosing not to be able to come over and work with us. But you know, that's unfortunate. But I understand and respect his thought process and wishes. But you know, it's not going to be able to happen this time.
So who will be your crew chief?
Right now, actually, Mike got a confirmation from Ryan from Zimco. He actually works at Zimco and worked on their race car for years and years as a crew member, and he's actually going to come over and work on our crew. So that's pretty much just happened today, from what I understood. So he's going to be full-time crew, and I don't know if we're just going to try to go at it with just him and I, or maybe have some help, you know, like say a consultant type help at the racetrack sometimes. I really don't know how it's going to work from here, but right now we do have a full-time guy working, and Ryan, again, he worked for Zimco for years and years. He's coming over, so hopefully we'll have a good relationship and we can you know, hit the ground running.
Was there any time during the process over the past few weeks after you got the call from Mike that there was a thought that, and I don't mean this in any disrespect, but maybe not the right ride for you? Or are there thoughts when you are trying to negotiate, and as you said, you had this idea, he had his, and you guys were apart, as a driver and someone like yourself who was a professional, any thoughts ever creep in that maybe somebody might come in after that and pick it up before you have a chance to sit down and negotiate again?
Kind of not really. I mean, obviously it's in the back of my mind, but Mike had said, hey, look, you're kind of the guy I'd like to work with, and I'm really not talking seriously. I mean, obviously people are calling, but he had explained to me, look, I just tell him I'm actually working on something right now. If it, and you know, he was reassuring me, look, I really want this to happen. And so I was fairly comfortable that we could probably hammer something out, but like I said, there's some issues that we had to work on, which is like infrastructure and logistics, and of course, you know, the financial end of it, from, again, being a professional driver, that were big hang-ups that, you know, that I wanted to be more comfortable with. And so, I mean, those things had to get addressed. And again, after we sat down and had a, you know, about a four-hour meeting on Wednesday, we kind of came to some conclusions and some terms that are agreeable for both of us.
Was there any point, Greg, during that negotiation that you thought this may not work out, given the differences you guys had initially?
Yeah, actually, after our initial sit-down, I kind of figured, well, then, you know, I can't do that. And I was kind of prepared to pretty much walk away and say, hey, thanks, I do appreciate it. And maybe your other options may be better suited for what you're wanting and wanting to do, which, don't get me wrong, Mike has a really good car, and obviously he's a good owner and has more options than obviously me. But, you know, it was just a situation where he was pretty adamant about what he was willing to do, and we just kind of had to work things out to make it good for both of us, basically.
Two-part question here. One, were you surprised when you got the phone call from him? And secondly, were there other people who had called before that?
Yeah, I had talked to a few people, different people, different scenarios, some from around here, some from not even around here, that I talked to, and all of them had pros and cons and good things, and some of them were great, but logistically a nightmare. It's just different scenarios that, you know, I had to approach with, you know, all eyes open and try to find the best fit for what I want to try to accomplish and, you know, for my family. So that all that came into factor. So, yeah, there were several people that I had talked to and discussed things with. But in the end, I think for what I'm doing and what I'm trying to accomplish, I think Mike and his team is probably more fitted to what I was looking for, actually.
Can you tell us then what were you looking for and what type of schedule will you and the Mike Heffner team have for 2014, and also how long is the contract for?
Honestly, it's just for, hey, you want to drive? I'll drive your car, you drive my car, and I want to drive your car. I want you to drive my car. Okay, good enough. This is what I pay. This is what I need. I'll agree on that, and I don't know, could last a week, a year, 2 years, three, I don't know.
So there's no set contract that says, you know, 2014, 15, it's not a 2-3 year deal, it's just a 1 year deal then?
Well, I mean, obviously, you don't get in anything to be a short-term situation, and I expressed that to Mike, and he expressed that to me, that he really doesn't want to be doing this every year, like basically trying to find a crew and a driver and those things. And I told him, I said, look, I'm not into this at all. I don't like change. I like to be in a situation that's stable and just race. And, you know, and for you to do that when you have a stable situation, it makes things a lot easier. So from that standpoint, we both agreed that, hey, we just kind of need to get our stuff together and go race. And he said, you know, it could last forever. But I also realize that you have to perform, and you know, things happen, and you know, nothing lasts forever. So you got to be realistic there. But honestly, I was looking for, going back to the first part of the question, I was just looking for something similar that I had, you know, with John Trone, and you know, we worked primarily not locally all the time, but pretty much locally. Hit a few things here and there, you know, Florida, Knoxville, maybe Eldora. You know, just standard stuff that I've been doing here since I got here. And like I said, 98 with the Apple team. We're local, but not 100% local. So there's no real set schedule. It's just like when the schedules come out, we'll look at it and kind of see what's convenient, what's close, and what pays, and concentrate on those things and see what kind of schedule we can come up with. Obviously, we'd like to start in Florida and hit the ground running and come back here when, you know, racing starts here and run wherever. So, yeah, I mean, Mike wants to race. You know, he wants to have a good time. And if he's racing, he wants to race. So that's why it's probably a fairly aggressive schedule. Probably not as much as they did with Pittman, because I think with Pittman, on their original schedule, they told me they had 120-something nights that they were going to try to race. Now, with rainouts, I think they got it a little over 100, which is pretty aggressive, and I don't know if we're going to be able to do that, but just not from desire, just from a personnel and infrastructure situation more than anything. So that's kind of the limiting factor on the schedule, but other than that, no, just race whenever, wherever.
Well, 7 wins last year, PA Speed Week champion, and you came within 5 points of winning your second consecutive Williams Grove Speedway 410 track title. How would you assess last year overall for yourself as a driver?
I actually had 8 wins, Sean. But that's close enough. But
sorry about that. Where did I miss a win at?
I don't know. It's somewhere in there.
I apologize. I was on your website. I must have just miscounted then.
Yeah, it may not even be current, to be honest with you. But no, we it was okay. Obviously, if we didn't go to Florida, we missed a few races early in the year, then I'd say, I don't know, won like the third race we were at, and then the next week we got in a crash and I broke my hand, and pretty much that was out of commission for a month, which hurt our development from getting our car better and obviously from being able to race, and, you know, hurt our position in points, and we scraped our way back from a pretty huge deficit to be within striking distance at Williams Grove, and even to crawl up to, I guess, second in that Speedway Motors Central Pennsylvania thing. We got, you know, obviously even missing pretty much a month of competitive race, and I think I raced in the cast for 2 or 3 weeks after that, just to, as a precautionary method. But you know, it took a lot of racing and a lot of development with these new tires out of our system. But kind of once we got going and kind of figured a few things out, it was definitely a lot better. But you know, obviously, you always want to win more and run better and all that stuff. But no, overall, I think the guys did a great job of bouncing back from some adversity early in the season and gave it a pretty good run there at the end to try to catch up to Fred, and we're very, very close to being able to do one position. Actually, would have won us the championship at Williams Grove, which would have been nice, but this didn't happen, and, you know, we'll take it and chalk it up to, hey, just don't get hurt.
Well, Greg, with the team not sure about heading down to the World Finals, you have Susquehanna left. What can you take then from, as you mentioned before, there were some idiosyncrasies you had to work on. What can you take from Williams Grove and Susquehanna to use as a baseline to work through the winter to get the team prepared to come out of the gates and get ready for Florida in February?
Right now, we're concentrating on getting the biggest thing is our we had some throttling issues where Darren apparently really liked having a really long throw on the accelerator, which is it's almost probably about 30, almost 40% longer than I'm used to. Mm-hmm. So one of the things is we got to work on our accelerator, and then I got to talk to Ryder to try to get the motor a little more adapted to what I'm looking for. So those types of things that we can work on over the winter, it's kind of nice to know those or really identify those problems now than when we start next year and kind of thrashing in the middle of Florida. So there's just a few things. Car-wise, yeah, we can kind of work on that as we go. But that particular car that they're running is not what we're going to be running next year. So we're going to have to kind of start over there, too. So the biggest thing is the motor issue. Not that there's anything wrong with it. It's not any better or worse than what I had. It's just different. So if we can, again, identify those problems and try to work on those while we have an opportunity, it'd be, you know, obviously be very helpful.
Well, Greg, as always, we greatly appreciate your time, and thank you for giving us some great insight as to how this all came about. We wish you and Mike Heffernan and the crew all the best of luck, and again, we wish John Trone all the best of luck as well as he battles some health issues here, and we look forward to seeing you guys back in the Central Pennsylvania tracks in the 2014 season.
All right, man. I appreciate you having me on, and I look forward to seeing you next year.
All right, thanks so much. Greg Hodnett, the new driver of the Mike Heffernan Racing, number 27, Leland's.com machine. We'll take a break and be back with more of the show right after this.
The world leader in suspension technology, Penske Racing Shocks has been providing custom-built, high-performance shock absorbers to all forms of racing for over 20 years. Offering only the highest quality suspension products, shocks are available in non, single, double, triple, and four-way adjustable configurations. All Penske Racing Shocks are hand-built, tailored to meet a driver's feel or car setup, and dyno-tested, ensuring the highest attention is paid to detail, consistency, and performance. For your short track needs, contact Dave Reedy at Penske Shocks at 610-375-6180. That's 610-375-6180. Penske Racing Shocks are available direct from the manufacturer or through many dealers worldwide. Visit them on the web at www.penskeshocks.com. Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions.
Hi, this is Luke Bowie driving the 55AU. You're listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
And welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Since July 20th, 1946, Sillings Grove Speedway has been one of the top half-mile sprint car and dirt tracks on the East Coast. And it has some rich history as well, with some of the great names having raced around the Speedway, including its first ever winner, Bill Holland, who went on to win the 1949 Indianapolis 500. Sprint car racing has been a staple under promoter Charlie Page with 358 sprint cars, but the track recently announcing they are going to be phasing in 360 sprint cars, which would be a first here on the East Coast for a track to have the 360 winged sprint cars as their headline division. Here to talk about that and Sillings Grove Speedway itself is a longtime public relations director and the voice of Sillings Grove Speedway, Steve Inch. Steve, welcome to the broadcast. Great to talk with you again.
Sean, thanks for having me on the show, and as always, it's a pleasure talking with you.
This, I'm sure, sent a little bit of ripples through the racing community. As I mentioned, first time that we have 360s racing on the East Coast at a track. Of course, the famed Unite Racing Company has been around since 1947. The Empire Super Sprints just celebrated their 30th anniversary. And the Patriot Sprints Tour, I believe, is 10 years old now. So you have three touring 360 series, but this is the first for a racetrack. What ultimately led to the decision to look at the 360s as the next step in sprint car racing at Sillings Grove?
Sean, at Sillings Grove Speedway, you know, our car counts have been dwindling a little bit. You know, we've been fortunate to, you know, maintain an average car count of about 20 of the 358 sprint cars on a weekly basis. And, you know, most of our race teams, or about half of them at least, you know, have been supporting the Speedway in basically 358, 360, and even 410 sprint car shows at the track. And, you know, getting a lot of their feedback, it just seemed like a natural transition to go into 360 sprint car racing. Over the past couple of years, we've had those touring divisions that you've mentioned come into the track, and we've seen strong car counts and support. We've gotten a lot of feedback, and so we're going to take this step, and it's going to be the next chapter of sprint car racing at Sillings Grove Speedway. We're pretty excited about it. You know, getting a lot of feedback from fans, you know, checking social media sites to see what the feedback's been, and for the most part, it's been positive.
You were there in the beginning of the era for Charlie when the late Jim Nace, the track's only five-time 410 sprint car champion, was instrumental in helping bring the 358s in. What was that early days like with the car counts, and how did the fans react to having a much different-looking wing on the top of the car and a different car itself compared to the 410s that have been predominant for so many years?
Well, you made a good point there. That was actually a serious consideration even 13 years ago when we decided to go with the 358 sprint cars at the track. One of those considerations was to allow the 358s back then to compete with the 25-square-foot wing, the 5x5s, and that was basically almost like a marketing decision that we considered just for the appearance of the race cars. And we ultimately decided with the input of the drivers and the race teams that we were going to stick with, you know, the 3x5 wings. You know, it was a transition period 13 years ago. It took some time to build up the field of race cars and, you know, the fan base, because we were basically counting at that time on race teams coming from outside of the area to support Sillings Grove Speedway. Most of the teams at that time, you know, were based in the southern part of the state and racing at Williams Grove and Lincoln Speedway. So to bring in 358s on a regular basis, you know, we were basically relying on those teams to travel north up to Sillings Grove. And it took some time to develop that program, and ultimately it was a success. And, you know, I think, you know, a big issue over the past couple of years has just been the cost of basically every major form of racing in the country. And so that's ultimately what played into a part of this decision to make the transition to the 360 sprint cars now.
I think you also, Steve, have to go back to the Keystone Auto Racing Series, or cars, back in the day when the 358s first appeared here in central Pennsylvania, and look where they are at now. Can you put a finger on a time frame when you started to see the cost maybe get a little bit out of hand and start to wonder how much longer the life support was going to be on for 358 sprint car racing here in the Commonwealth?
That's a good point, Sean. And actually, I would say, if we were to put a year on it, it was probably about 5 years ago when we noticed, that the cost of the motors and just the cost in general, the motors were skyrocketing. You know, that was the feedback we were getting from teams, is that the 358 engines were costing almost as much as, or more than a 360 or a 410. So the gap really closed, as far as purchasing the engines. And we've noticed this in the past 5 years or so.
The biggest question that a lot of fans are going to have is, what about the 410s? The press release stated that the opening weekend next year, March 14th and 15th, will be the icebreaker for the Race to Champion Dirt Modifieds. Last year's was snowed out, unfortunately. But in years past, we've had a 410 show the Sunday before. Nothing mentioned about that this year. Is the track still going to cater to some 410 racing throughout the year?
Oh, sure, absolutely. You know, the 410s always put on a great show at Selinsgrove Grove Speedway on the big half mile. We run, anywhere from 4 to 6 of those races during a season, and for the most part, they're well supported by the teams and the fans. And, my conversation with Charlie in regards to that early March race is we're not going to run that one just because we want to push it back. Hopefully, we're actually looking at another Sunday later in March after the modified icebreaker weekend. That show is not off the schedule at this time. Charlie's concern was just, pushing it back a little bit so we don't have to open so early in March. And one of the goals for the 2014 season will be to, tighten the schedule up a little bit, at the beginning of the season, even at the end of the season, and, try to have more of a concentration between basically like the middle of March and probably the end of September for 2014.
Very interesting. But I guess the $64 million question then, Steve, comes down to the number of cars that are regulars in the 358 division at Selinsgrove. How many of them are going to switch over to 360s? And second of all, with URC, ESS, and the Patriot Sprints, do you think there will be a number of teams on an off weekend when none of those are racing that will make the trek to race at Selinsgrove Speedway with other 360 sprint cars?
Well, we're certainly hoping that is the case. Some of the feedback we've gotten from some of the teams, particularly this season and last season when we've had more of the 360 events at the Speedway, they've indicated they would have an interest in doing that. And, we're even talking to the sanctioning organizations, all three of those groups that you had mentioned, and possibly having more of those events throughout the season at Selinsgrove. And when they're not competing on their series, we certainly invite them and hope they would come to Selinsgrove and support the weekly deals as much as possible. And as far as our weekly 358 sprint car teams, as we mentioned, probably half of them already have a 360 motor, and most of the feedback we got from them indicated that they would be in favor of making this transition to the 360. So all in all, we're hoping it all pans out, and it may be a little bit of a rebuilding year again at Selinsgrove Speedway. We went through this before, and hopefully there are more pieces of the puzzle in place going into 2014 than back in 2001.
Was the idea on the table to look at potentially the 410s back as the premier division at the Speedway?
Everything was on the table. My discussions with Charlie and Speedway officials and trying to figure out how to move the Speedway forward. Absolutely, everything was on the table, and ultimately we decided this would kind of be a middle of the road decision to take it to this level, and we're pretty excited about it.
Do you think somewhere down the road we could see the 410s returning?
I guess nothing's off the table, so that decision hasn't been made at this time. Right now we're just focused on, making sure, the 358-360 combined effort here is a success, and so we're just looking forward to 2014.
We're talking with Steve Inch, the longtime public relations director and longtime voice of Selinsgrove Speedway here on the Sprint Car Show. And if you have never been to Selinsgrove Speedway on a Saturday night, folks, you do not know what you are missing, because it is a lightning fast track, great atmosphere, the old-time covered grandstand. And as we mentioned, it's been around since 1946. Some of the greats, even Tony Stewart, NASCAR champion, and on his way to recovering from a broken leg in a sprint car accident, he won a race earlier last year in a 360 at the Speedway. I'm sure that, Steve, over the years, probably one of the highlights for you to call race and have Tony Stewart win.
Absolutely, and I mean, Tony just had a spectacular night back in April when, you know, he set fast time, won his heat, and then came out in a cleanup job at Selins Grove Speedway to win that feature. That was an ESS-sanctioned race back in April, and sure, it was certainly a highlight of my racing career to have the opportunity to interview Tony Stewart in Victory Lane at Selins Grove Speedway, and he really enjoyed himself, and hopefully he can make it back in 2014.
Speaking of that, my other question I have for you is, when will the phasing be complete for the 360s? Will that be 2015? Will it be 2016? Is it an open-end deal as to when ultimately the 360s will be there and there will be no 358s?
Really, there hasn't been any talk of a definitive date that we would possibly ever phase out the 358 sprint cars. You know, Williams Grove and Lincoln Speedways are going to continue with their 358 sprint car racing programs. We certainly don't want to deter any of those teams from joining us at Selins Grove Speedway. And, you know, even over the past couple of years, you know, at the other tracks here in Central PA, you know, Lincoln, Williams Grove, and at Port Royal, their URC events and any other of those types of challenge events have grown in popularity, where the 358s have raced with the 360 sprint cars. And that's been happening, you know, increasingly at the other racetracks. So, really, there's no date set as far as when there's going to be a complete phase-out of the 358 sprint cars, and that may never happen. You know, as long as we get support and continue to have a strong car count, there would be no point in doing that.
Well, let me rephrase it. I wasn't meaning in terms of phasing out the 358s altogether, because, as we've known for the last 13 years, they've been the staple and have at times put on some tremendous shows. But I was talking about, you know, would the 360s become the predominant sprint car division, and you wouldn't have the 358s running with the 360s. It would just basically be a 360-only division. I guess that's what the question I was asking.
No, not at this time. You know, moving forward, you know, there are no plans to not necessarily classify the division one way or the other, you know, between 358s and 360s. I mean, basically, we'd be looking at these as challenge events, you know, moving forward into the next couple of seasons.
And when do you think the 2014 schedule would be out by?
We started discussing dates with some of the sanctioning groups. You know, we have a rough sketch of 2014. Our goal is always to have the schedule completed and released by the first of the year, so hopefully we can keep on track and get that ready to go, and we'll be announcing the full schedule hopefully by January 1st, 2014.
And I think that's a trend that we're seeing. A lot more and more tracks and even sanctioning bodies are getting their schedules out earlier and earlier every year. Sort of like, you know, August 1 rolls around and you know, that big box store is rolling out Christmas stuff already.
Absolutely. I've seen those already. Yeah, lots of Christmas decorations available, and we haven't even gotten to Halloween yet. So, you know, planning's an important part of it, you know, getting sponsors on board. You know, the last checkered flag may have fallen on racing at the Speedway, but, you know, there's always work that has to be done for the following season, and we try to get started on that as, you know, early as possible, you know, getting dates in order, contacting sponsors and sanctioning groups, and so yeah, there's a lot of work that takes place during the off season. It's not just you know, March through September, that's for sure.
We appreciate those tracks and those sanctioning bodies getting the word out. Of course, if you want to learn more about Selins Grove Speedway, you can visit them online at selinsgrovespeedway.com. Well, Steve, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. We thank you so much for your insight on what's happening as the Speedway transitions to 360 sprint car racing in 2014. Should be a very interesting season. I think the biggest question is going to be how many of the local guys are going to switch over and run a full-blown 360 and not a 358. So I think we have a lot of interesting storylines as the season rolls around in March of next year.
Absolutely. And again, thank you for having me on the show. It's always a pleasure talking with you, Sean. And, you know, we're looking forward to a successful 2014 season as, you know, the Speedway opens up a new chapter.
Steve, should be a good one. Thanks again, and we'll be talking to you real soon.
Thank you.
the voice of Sealands Grove Speedway, Steve Inch, joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show. Special thanks to our guests, Greg Hodnett and Steve Inch, for joining us on today's broadcast. Also, within the past 24 hours, some new driver and team combinations, including Ryan Smith and Doug Esch, have been announced. We'll talk with those guys next week as we get prepared for the World Finals in Charlotte. That's all coming up next week on the Sprint Car Show, each and every Tuesday here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. The Sprint Car Show has been brought to you by Rod and Supply. They don't just sell them, they race them. By Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions. And by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway.
This has been a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.